Welcome to A Life in Biography. This podcast is going to be a short one. It's kind of a promo for the Biographers International Organization Conference, which starts tomorrow, Friday, and will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Saturday, I'm going to be on a panel about gatekeepers, which is going to be the subject of this podcast in just a moment. On Sunday, I'm hosting a roundtable for first-time biographers, and we'll be interested to see what kinds of questions and concerns they might have. On Sunday, we'll be meeting at 12:30. This is all Zoom, of course. So, gatekeepers. I'm sure you know what that means or have some sense of it. It's someone who's at the gate, and maybe they're not going to let you in. The program for Biographers International Conference is going to be about doing biographies of living figures. So I'm going to do something different here in talking about gatekeepers. I'm going to talk about my biography of Lillian Hellman. When I started it, she was dead. And another biographer had already done a biography, and it looked like yet another biographer was going to do a biography, but she dropped out. I was busy trying to contact people to do interviews. I hadn't yet gone to Hellman's archive at the Ransom Center, University of Texas. And I called up the poet Richard Wilbur, interviewed him over the phone. This is after I had gotten some resistance. I'd gotten, for example, a postcard from William Styron saying that he had been forbidden by Lillian Hellman to talk to anyone except her authorized biographer, a chap by the name of William Abrams, who had been Hellman's editor at Little Brown. And by the way, Abrams never published his biography of Lillian Hellman. That's a whole story in itself that I'll save for another day. So Styron wrote me a card, a courteous card, not a buzz-off card, but gee, I'm sorry, I regret it, that I can't do it. And I got a similar letter, a letter from John Hersey I'd written to him, and he was a good friend of Hellman's. And he wrote me more than one letter. I guess I wrote him several times, just trying to get him to talk. And he seemed troubled by his swearing an oath to Lillian Hellman that he wouldn't talk to anyone else. So I was delighted to see that Richard Wilbur was willing to talk to me, and he was quite open. And we had a very good interview. He also knew Dashiell Hammett, who was Hellman was very close to Hammett, of course. And so we talked about him as well. Toward the end of the interview, Wilbur said to me, gee, I think you're going to have a tough time of it. And I said, oh, why is that? And he said, well, before she died, she closed her archive at the University of Texas, and it's open only to her authorized biographer, William Abrams. I didn't say anything because I was stunned. I already had a proposal and a book contract. And the reason I think I was stunned was that archive had been open for at least 20 years. There had been dissertations written using that archive. There had been one book published based on Hellman's archive. Wilbur said to me, or I said to Wilbur, How is it that you're talking to me if Hellman said to you, as she did, don't talk to anybody? Well, Wilbur's reply was, who is she to tell me who to talk to? It's my life, too. I can talk to who I damn please. And I've often wondered why people of some prominence, like John Hersey or William Styron, would knuckle under to Lillian Hellman. It's not as if, for instance, in Styron's case, he was opposed to speaking to biographers of living figures. He granted me an interview later for when I was doing my biography of Norman Mailer. But Hellman had a grip on these people, and it was like they had sworn an oath of fealty. And this really irritated Richard Wilbur. But I can't tell you what a sense of release this was for me, because the gatekeepers will try to make you feel bad, you know, that you're an interloper, that you have no business doing this. As Susan Sontag's agent, Andrew Wiley, said of my wife and I when we were doing a biography of Sontag, who are these people? We weren't part of the inner circle. We had, in a sense, we hadn't earned our, whatever, brownie points. So it was a real liberation. And as I say, I don't understand why more people don't regard their experience with someone as their experience. Why would you have someone else, in a sense, take control of your life and tell you who you should or you should not talk to? You know, especially with these authorized biographers who often don't even do the book. So that's my lesson for the day. In a very short podcast, I'll be talking about living figures at the Biographers International Conference meeting, about my wife and I and our struggles with Susan Sontag, which was rather like working on a mafia figure, and other living figures as well, like Martha Gellhorn and Norman Mailer. I'm only one of a few people on this panel. How much I'll actually get to say, I don't know. Anything I don't get to say at the Biographers International Conference, I can always, of course, continue to stay in the to say in this podcast. So I guess what I have to say to you is stay tuned, and thanks for listening.